The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
It's a Big 12!
That it is, Coach. That it is. UC Davis, by the way, head coach. One of our fine listeners hit me up on the Twitter, at Soren Petro, S-O-R-E-N-P-E-T-R-O. Bill letting me know that head coach at UC Davis is where Dan Hawkins is right now. Now Curtis feels a need to fact check that.
I'm trying to find what conference it is so I can say,
it's the...
I don't know what it is now.
It's the CCATFC! You know that's what's coming.
Probably.
It's going to be one of those...
It's the Big West!
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So we'll see. Man who covers the Big 12 is Jake Trotter. Does a great job covering it for ESPN. He joins us on our Sprint guest line right now. Jake, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's up, boys? How we doing?
We're doing great, man. We're getting closer and closer to football. Everybody's practicing. We've got training camp up here with the Chiefs, and it's a very exciting season for that, but we're also very fired up.
Patrick Mahomes era, get ready.
We are fired up for it. What was your impression watching Patrick Mahomes down at Texas Tech? What do you think the Chiefs have about ready to unleash on the NFL?
Yeah, I think he's awesome. As a guy, you know, he's one of my favorite guys I've covered in the Big 12. He gets it from a media perspective, and you know, we don't know these people that well, but he seems like a pretty good dude. I appreciate the way he's ingratiated himself to Kansas City. You'll see him at a Sporting KC game. I've talked to him about, you know, all the great restaurants in Kansas City. So I think Chiefs fans should be very excited. And I mean, I know he's thrown a lot of interceptions in mini camp or training camp. I keep reading about that. But, you know, when he can get out and run and make plays with his feet on top of the arm that he has, I think that's when he can become a special player. I don't know that he's going to be the greatest practice guy in the world, but, man, I saw him so many times while at Texas Tech just take over games with his ability to basically do anything that you could ask from a quarterback. I mean, he is the total package, whether it's mobility, arm strength, he can make all the throws, and I think he's really smart. So I think Kansas City fans should be very excited.
Yeah, and we are. We were talking about him for a couple of years at Tech. I mean, the likelihood that you're going to talk about a kid and he's going to end up being on your franchise, one of 32 teams, is so unlikely. But we were fired up. We loved him here. Never dreamed the Chiefs would have to go up as high as they did to get him, but we're thrilled when they got him. I think his floor is Jay Cutler, right? Not the off the field Jay
yeah,
Cutler,
I think
but
fair.
The floor is Jay Cutler, and listen, the floor could be David Klingler. That was a strong arm guy who put up a bunch of numbers in college.
Okay.
But for me, I think the floor is Jay Cutler. The upside is Aaron Rodgers, and he'll fall somewhere in between. Is the reality of where things will be. So,
I remember he got to the point where he was just throwing like no look passes in practice from a quarterback. He has that kind of talent where he would just look the other way and throw a slant in practice. Now he wouldn't do that at a game, but I think that once he starts to kind of figure things out, I would lean more toward the Aaron Rodgers side than the would you say David Klinger side.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see what he can do. And I was talking to Cliff Kingsbury about this after the draft. I mean, he's got Case Keenum at Denver. He's got Patrick Mahomes at Kansas City, and he technically has Johnny Manziel in the CFL and Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. So he's got a lot of former quarterbacks that I think are going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I no doubt. There is no doubt. What do you think about the quarterback play that's going to be? I'm going to ask you about K-State in a minute. Bill Snyder, somebody tried to corner him on what it's going to be for him. But you lose the number one overall pick and the Heisman Trophy winner at OU. The quality quarterback in play. I know West Virginia knows who's going to play quarterback for them. But that's what this league used to be. You go back to that Chase Daniel, Colt McCoy, Sam Bradford. You got all those years kind of blend together a little bit. But it used to be kind of quarterback league. What's the quarterback play going to be like this year for this league? And is it the lack of that big gun guy that has them, by most people's expectations, on the outside looking into the playoffs?
Well, I think Will Grier has a chance to be as good as anybody in the country. You know, we had an ESPN top 50 player ranking come out Monday, and he was number three. Now, I think that's maybe a little high for him, but I don't think it's unthinkable that he could be, you know, the top quarterback in the country and firmly in the Heisman discussion if West Virginia can get off to a good start with a couple of very winnable, but what would be impressive non-conference victories against Tennessee and North Carolina State. You know, after that, it's a lot of uncertainty, but I do think there's some talent. You know, Kyler Murray, former five-star guy, you know, I don't think he's going to be Baker Mayfield, obviously, but I think with him at quarterback, Oklahoma has the potential to be a college football playoff team once again. I was just talking to somebody at Baylor about Charlie Brewer, and I think he's got a chance to be, you know, another really good former Lake Travis quarterback. You know, if you ask Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy, I was really surprised that they didn't even have a quarterback competition. They just named Taylor Cornelius the starter. And, you know, we haven't seen him play, and I think there's some, you know, question about what his ceiling is. But they feel like he's got a pretty high floor, and that with him at quarterback and that receiving core, that they have a chance to be maybe a surprise team in the Big 12. Kyle Kemp won a lot of big games for Iowa State last year. I am interested to see, you know, I think the three quarterback situations that maybe are the most interesting is, can Sean Robinson be good enough for TCU? Because I think that they have the pieces elsewhere, with the exception of the offensive line, to be a really good, like, top 10 caliber team. They play Ohio State week three. Who knows what shape the Buckeyes are going to be in at that point with all the Urban Meyer drama. Texas, you know, we'll see with Sam Ehlinger. He had some really great moments last year, but some catastrophic ones as well. And then I think Kansas State, in some ways, is interesting a quarterback situation as any, because are they going to play both? I would play both. I think they are thinking about playing both. But if it were me, given their skill set, great run blocking offensive line. I love their tailbacks. I don't know anybody at wide receiver that can be a difference maker for them. So maybe at that point you go Alex Delton and just load up on trying to be a great running team. But then again, Skylar Thompson was great in that Oklahoma State win, and so I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I would consider playing both and maybe leaning toward Delton just because of what the team would be best at doing versus, you know, who might be, you know, the best quarterback overall. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And you said that you'd play both, and that's that. And I'm with you. I pretty much will just trust in whatever Bill Snyder does until he proves to me that the game has lost him. But you said both, and that's not popular with a lot of K-State fans. Most K-State fans want Skylar Thompson. They want the guy who throws the ball.
All these K-State fans are wrong. What is wrong with them?
I tend to agree. Okay, I agree with you. Yeah, I'll stand there with you. Come on, I'll take it. Bring it on. I'm with you.
You think they should play Delton too?
I think yes, because I think that's what he does. Listen, here's what I know. Right now, all K-State fans want Skylar Thompson to play all the time because he throws the ball better. Here's what I know.
K-State fans not remember the Vanderbilt game last year where, like, nobody could catch anything, and then they lost basically their two best receivers.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
At least their best receiver in Pringle.
Well, here's
so now they're gonna put Skylar Thompson, who is a passing quarterback, and I think a chance to be a pretty good one. This isn't a knock against Skylar Thompson. I'm just saying, I don't think Kansas State can throw the ball effectively because of the guys that are going to be catching it.
Sure.
So why not go with Alex Delton, who we know is a terrific running quarterback? That offensive line is going to be one of the top, I think, 10 units in the country, if not better.
Yep.
And then they've got Alex Barnes, who I think is really good. I don't know if Kansas State always feels like he's really good because they don't give him the ball as much as I would. But even after Barnes, you know, McCoy was the guy everybody was talking about in the spring. I think he could get 5 to 7 carries a game. And then what you've got, you know, Sillman and Warmack, who are at least reliable. So I would run the ball 50 times a game, and I would frustrate these spread offenses.
Yes.
That want to go hurry up.
Yes.
And then I would play good defense, and I think that is the recipe for Kansas State to be a 9-10 win team this year.
Yes.
I try to air it out with people. I think that they are at best 6-6.
We know that they want the guy who can throw the ball. We also know that they're going to bitch week 6 that their quarterback's been beat to hell. right? Because that always happens. Well, he just gets the quarterback killed. He runs the quarterback too much. Now, listen, you hit something very important. Barnes can run, and it's okay to just pitch it to him. It's okay to not have everything be a quarterback option, because I think a lot of teams just say, okay, we'll take the back and we'll keep punishing your quarterback. Like, if I were a defensive coach, I would oversell on the running back and let's beat the crap out of the quarterback, particularly when they try to play one. But if you're going to play two, number one, he's going to play two. So get it out of your mind, right? He's going to do it. So I don't know why you get yourselves all worked up about it, because you know Bill Snyder's going to do it.
Here's the other thing, too. If Dalton gets hurt, you know, let's say you open up as a running team and Dalton's running the ball, you know, 15, 20 times a game, and he gets hurt, then you can go to Skylar Thompson. I think if you start Skylar Thompson, the only point at which you would go to Dalton is if he's just not playing well. So I just think the flow of the offense and the team over the course of the season would work better if you go Dalton, and then if you have to go to Skylar, well, at least you know that he can win games and you can kind of figure it out at receiver at that point. But I think trying to formulate this team around a passing quarterback would be a mistake, just because I think they're so good on the offensive line. I think they've got really good running backs, and I think their wide receivers, you know, no disrespect, have been terrible.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. And, you know, we'll talk about some other things too here, but I'm in total agreement with you. And I think we view it through
that's
the exact.
That's because you are a smart man. Or that's it.
Well, thank you. I'll take it. From one smart guy, I'll take that compliment. Jake Trotter from ESPN College Football Writer is with us. I do also, you know, the spread offense was brilliant when nobody ran it, right? The K-State's what nobody runs anymore. They're a bitch to get ready for. I mean, they're just as bad. I guarantee you, and you probably you get the access with the coaches one-on-one, so you probably talk to them. Getting ready for Bill Snyder's offense, and I got one more on K-State on this after this, but getting ready for Bill Snyder's offense is no more fun than getting ready for Georgia Tech or getting ready for Navy. I mean, it's not quite as extreme, the formation that they start in, but it's still all the option, all the power, slowing you down, taking you out of your rhythm. It's no fun getting ready for K-State. You
just
know that.
Because it's boring to watch doesn't mean it's not effective.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're a football nerd, which you clearly are, I am, and all coaches are, it ain't boring either. I love a good K-State football
game. Yeah, my favorite
game.
Offense of all time, I wrote about it, it's the 50-year anniversary. I wrote about it a couple weeks ago, is the Wishbone.
Yeah, yeah.
And think about all the national championships that were won with the Wishbone. And yeah, I mean, people can say, well, the speed of the game has changed, you can't run the Wishbone. Georgia Tech has like nobody on their team ever. It feels like they're in the ACC title hunt every year, or at least the divisional title hunt every year. So I think that, listen, Kansas State's not winning the national title this year. They're probably not getting to the playoff, but I don't think it's unthinkable for them to get to the Big 12 championship game and win a conference title. I mean, I think they have the pieces to make that kind of run if they can A, stay healthy, and B, kind of maximize what they are offensively. And, you know, go back to 2012. That wasn't a passing team. They passed well enough, but they got to the Fiesta Bowl and won, you know, beat Oklahoma and Norman and won the Big 12 title with phenomenal defense and like a great running quarterback who could make a lot of plays. I think Alex Delton, he's not going to be Colin Klein, but I think that he could be a really effective player.
What last question on K-State? What does the change with the coordinators? What does Colin Klein and Andre Coleman taking bigger roles? I mean, the looking at one of the, above
no
the
idea.
Fold.
I have no idea. I have no idea what it's going to look like. I do think that it probably gives Bill Snyder a lot more power and maybe say, because I mean, he coaches these, you know, he's coached these guys, you know, those guys have worked under him and, you know, they're inexperienced. So I think that's going to give, you know, Bill more say in terms of what happens than maybe he had last year when he had such an experienced, you know, coordinator in Dana Dimmel. So I what does that mean? I don't know exactly, but I do think that, I think you're going to see Snyder have maybe a heavier hand in what goes on offensively.
Do you think it's going to change any at all? I mean, do you think anything about it's going to suddenly be mystically different? Because they've lost. The other thing K-State fans have done for the last few years is complain about Dimmel. He's gone. And these are a couple of their own guys they really like. Klein and Coleman are their own guys that they love, young guys. and they've been calling for these guys. Now they've got them. If it looks exactly the same, they're not going to know what the hell to do.
What was the quote that Coleman had? We're not going to reinvent the wheel, but we're going to put rims on it. I mean, I don't know what that means. I like that quote.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there'll be some, you know, maybe some more trick plays. Is that what that means? You know, maybe some more, you know, misdirection type stuff. But you know, Kansas State fans can rip Dimmel. I mean, they won a lot of games with Dana Dimmel as the offensive coordinator. And, you know, I think that system that they have leaned on is going to be what they lean on this year. But you're asking me what a Coleman, you know, Colin Klein type offense is going to look like. I don't really know. I mean, I think everybody's curious about what it will look like. But I do think that Bill Snyder would have the opportunity to maybe have more input in what actually does happen just because these guys are so new.
Yeah. And obviously, you haven't had a chance to see him practice or anything like that, but I didn't know if there was a...
I'm not allowed to Bill Snyder practice.
Yes,
no.
Yes. I didn't know if there was a scuttlebutt to, this is
no.
It. Yeah, look out, here it comes.
I have not been spying on those practices either, so I do not know.
We're talking to Jake Trotter.
And if I were in Manhattan, I'd be at Varsity Donuts. I would not be at practice.
Understood. I can understand why. We're talking to Jake Trotter here in the program. Covers the Big 12 and all of college football for ESPN. Oklahoma, they're considered the top dog for this league. How does the team look different with Kyler Murray, and how much do they lose in that department, and what should be expected of a team that brings back 12 starters?
Well, I mean, Baker Mayfield was, in my opinion, the second greatest player in OU history, which is, you know, a pretty considerable statement given the players that they have. And I think he's the greatest quarterback that they've ever had going back to the Bud Wilkinson era. And though he didn't win a national championship, when you look at what he did over 3 years, it's pretty unbelievable. So they're not going to be as good a quarterback. And Kyler Murray could max out his potential, and they still are not going to be as good at quarterback. However, I think they have a chance to be better around the quarterback than they were last year. You know, they lose Orlando Brown at left tackle, but that offensive line is going to be nasty again with basically the rest of the unit back. Rodney Anderson led the country in yards from scrimmage from about early October on, had 200 yards in the Rose Bowl. The receiving corps back, CeeDee Lamb, you know, Marquise Brown, that's a really good duo. Grant Calcaterra is probably the best receiving tight end in the Big 12, taking over for Mark Andrews. So they're loaded offensively again. I think you're going to see more zone read. I think you're going to see more, you know, quarterback run game. You know, Baker Mayfield was really elusive and could make a lot of plays with his feet, but he's not a guy you wanted to call, you know, an option zone read with. Kyler Murray is that guy. You know, he is, you know, he has the capability to rush for, you know, say 200 yards in a game, which is, no OU quarterback has ever done. I think he has a chance to be like a 3,000 passing, 1,000 yard rushing type guy. But we'll see. I mean, like, I think everybody assumes he's going to be great. He probably will be great, but we don't know that he's going to be great. And he hasn't shown anything in a national game to guarantee, you know, to suggest it's a lock that he's going to be a top 10 quarterback, you know, in the country. So I think Oklahoma could be really good, but you know, we'll see what happens. And if Kyler Murray, for some reason, is the Kyler Murray we saw at Texas A&M, Oklahoma's going to have real problems.
You mentioned West Virginia and them getting on a roll. You mentioned TCU. Anybody else you think that should be mentioned as a challenger to Oklahoma? Some people like Texas, that this is the year for it to come together for the Horns.
Now, I think the Sooners are the clear favorite. They're not the overwhelming favorite, given their uncertainty at, you know, on the defensive side and with Kyler. But, you know, I think if you're looking at a team that can unseat them, it's probably West Virginia, because they do have the proven quarterback in Will Grier, you know, who was top three nationally in touchdowns and yards before he broke that finger in week 11. They have, you know, I think David Sills is a really good wide receiver, but it's not just Sills. I mean, they've got the Big 12 receptions champ coming back. Nobody even knows he plays, but Gary Jennings had like 97 receptions last year. TJ Simmons, an Alabama transfer, is going to be electric for them. They've got a kind of a new element this year in Javonte Haskins, who is a you know, flex tight end, a transfer from Miami, Florida. They'll be better on the offensive line. They like their running back trio. So I think they have a chance to be, you know, what Oklahoma State basically was offensively last year, you know, a top two or three offense in the country. And though I don't think they're going to be dominant defensively by any means, they do have guys that could play for just about anybody in the country. When you talk about, when you talk about David Long, who might be the best linebacker in the league, when you talk about, Dravon, Askew Henry, who's, started a million games for them. Kenny Robinson, I had on my preseason All Big 12 team, kind of a guy could play corner or safety. They get Oklahoma, a team they've never defeated since joining the Big 12. Kansas State before that was the last one of the two teams they hadn't defeated until West Virginia won that game a couple of years ago. Now Oklahoma is the lone team that West Virginia has never defeated since joining the league. They get them on Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving in Morgantown. It's going to be right there for them. They have a pretty manageable schedule, to the first 5-6 weeks of the season. They could be 7-0, 8-0, top 6 or 7 nationally in the committee rankings. And if they're able to beat Texas, if they're able to beat Oklahoma State, TCU, then there could be a lot on the line for that game against the Sooners. And guess what? They probably have to play them again the next week because of that Big 12 championship game. So I think for West Virginia to accomplish what it wants to this year, what it thinks it can, it's going to have to probably beat a program twice this year, a program that it hasn't defeated since joining the Big 12.
Last question, and that's about the Texas quarterbacks. I'm a big believer. Maybe there's one or two situations where you can find one where this isn't true. But if you got more than one quarterback, you don't have any. If you don't have a guy that's jumping out there, I mean, you don't have a guy. Do they have a guy?
I don't know. I mean, I like Ellinger. I don't love Ellinger. I think his game is sort of similar to Baker in that he wants to run around and make a play. But what made Baker so great for Oklahoma, I was sort of skeptical that the Baker was going to do well for OU because I watched him play so many games at Texas Tech in person. And he just was careless. He threw interceptions. He turned the ball over. Made some really, dumb plays. And my thinking was that if he does that at Oklahoma, not only is he not going to be effective, he's just not going to get a chance because Bob Stoops is not going to play a guy that turns the ball over. And then what does Baker do? He has like 7 interceptions in 3 years. I mean, it was that was the biggest difference between him at Tech and Oklahoma. He just didn't ever turn the ball over. So Ken Ellinger, who had like so many catastrophic turnovers. He threw the worst interception I've ever seen in my life against Oklahoma State in overtime that they lost the game on that play. He had the fumble at the goal line against USC in overtime. He had the mindless interception late against Texas Tech, which allowed the Red Raiders to rally and get to, get a win and get it to a bowl game. So is he going to eliminate those plays this year? If he does, then I think he has a chance to be, one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the Big 12, which isn't saying that much, but it's better than anything Texas has had since Colt McCoy. If he continues to struggle with turnovers and he gets hurt running around too much, which happened all the time last year, then they're going to be right where they've been, which is sort of in quarterback purgatory. And, maybe they'll play Shane Buechele then. Maybe they'll give Casey Thompson or, one of their new guys a shot and see what happens. But I'm curious to see how Ellinger does, and I think he has the chance to be good. But do I see Vince Young there? Do I see Colt McCoy there? I do not at this moment.
All right, we're talking to Jake Trotter. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by Mosquito Squad, kansascity.mosquitosquad.com, to protect your family, friends, pets from the bugs that bite, or you can call them at 877-MO-SQUAD. Jake. I will start with this. 4 quick ones. Just tell me the first
thing. My favorite part of the show, by the way. Go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of time and energy goes into it, so it's always nice to know that it's appreciated. Is Matt Campbell the head coach at Iowa State in 2019, yes or no?
I'll say no.
Okay. The college football playoff in your mind right now is who? Won't hold you to this yet. Still injuries could happen. But what are you feeling? Who over who?
Who are the 4 teams or who are the 2 teams?
2 teams. I'm sorry, I should have said championship game. Championship game,
yeah,
who over who?
Alabama over who cares? I don't know.
I like the Bama over who cares. I'm gonna put down the who cares. I like that one a lot. All right, does Bob Stoops coach again?
No.
Okay. And finally, we started out talking about Patrick Mahomes. You talked about how impressed you were with the guy. Are you impressed enough that you, too, like Patrick Mahomes, own a quality pair of jorts.
it's Texas Tech quarterbacks. They like the jorts. Baker Mayfield liked the jorts. Patrick Mahomes does as well. So I don't know what the question exactly was. Do I support you wearing them? Sure, why not?
Do you own a pair?
No. Oh, do I own a pair?
Yes.
Don't you ask me? Of course
yes.
not. I don't own a pair. I can't get away with that nonsense.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Good to know. You can come back, Jake. You can come back. It's official with that one. Great stuff as always, buddy. Always love talking to you. You do such a great job there for ESPN. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Okay, thank you very much. Anytime.
Take you care. Bet. Jake Trotter from ESPN talking some college football. And excited for the college football to get started as well. And Curtis has handed me a note. It says, before you break, big news in college basketball. I'll hate the story.
I'll have the story.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I was like, okay, I'll have the story. You have all the notes. The notes are here. All right, put them in my fat, greasy palms. The gist of it is...
Some big changes in college basketball as far as eligibility and the ability to sign agents and also the ability to return to college if they're not drafted. The highlights would be that undrafted players can return to school.
Okay.
And, quote, elite high school recruits can now hire an NCAA certified agent. That's like the headline. The deeper on the agent thing, NCAA says an elite prospect as identified by USA Basketball can hire an agent beginning July 1st before their senior year in high school if and when the NBA and the NCNBA Players Association allow high schoolers to enter the draft. They'll be able to hire an agent July 1st if they're identified as an elite senior prospect by USA Basketball. So that's a bit of a wiggle room there. And the other one is for players who aren't drafted. Says college basketball players who request an undergraduate advisory committee evaluation, participate in the NBA combine, and aren't drafted can return to school as long as they notify their athletic director of their intent by 5 p.m. the Monday after the draft. So that's just among the number of changes they made in college basketball going forward. Some will be enacted immediately. Some will have to, obviously, NBA has to change their rules to allow it. But that hit about 5 minutes ago. So,
got an eye appointment today. Important because it really changes what I thought the story was going to be, the difference between I'll have the story and I'll hate the story. I'm like, oh, God, here's something on Mizzou.
Oh, no.
Mizzou just got screwed. So I'm going to get my eyes checked. That needs to happen. We'll take a break, come back, talk about what this will mean. What are the ramifications? Rules sound good, then you apply them. Sometimes they don't end up being as good. We'll talk about that next here in the program.